Living Hope Assembly of God.
Father, this morning we give you praise. We thank you for your Spirit. We're so glad, Jesus, that you were already here before we got here. And Lord Jesus, it's left up to us to receive from you, receive from a table that has already been spread before us. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would open our hearts up yet again to receive from you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, we're gonna get ready to transition this part of the service and have our guest speaker to come up. I introduced him earlier. His name is Toby Schneckloff. He's a friend of mine. I've known Toby now for several years, and I'm serious. I have not seen a man of God, a person work as hard as Toby. He's a great model for us ministers and all the ministers in our district and our sections alike. God is really using him at the camps and different things like that. So without further ado, I'm gonna let him explain more and talk to us this morning and share from his heart. Let's welcome Toby, amen.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am so excited to be here with you today, and thank you for that wonderful introduction. I love your pastor and his wife and his 20, 30 kids that he has. They are an awesome family. And I think you are truly blessed to have them here with you in Blair. Would you agree? Let's give your pastor a round of applause. Would you guys do that for me? Part of the joy of my job is supporting them. And I don't pastor a local church. I help give leadership for the whole state of Nebraska, for youth and children's ministries, also young adults in college. And so I'm cheering these guys on week after week as they are leading our churches and ministering to our communities. So thank you for what you do. And I just want you to know that you've got a good one here. I know you know that. I know they've been here for a little while now, and you've already seen what God is doing in their lives. But I'm just proud of them. They, of course, worked in Nebraska before, and I was involved in their ministry before as well, in a different part of the state. In fact, Charles even served as part of my state leadership team for a short time before he backslid and went down south. He finally found the Lord's will again and brought him back to the promised land. And I'm so glad that he's back a part of our team. I send greetings from our district office. That's where I serve. The Assemblies of God state headquarters are in Grand Island, Nebraska. It's where I live and work. And my family is actually nearby in Omaha. This morning, we were here throughout the weekend because I have a son who attends UNO, a freshman. I have another son who's a senior this year graduating, and this weekend was both a preview day for my graduating son and also a family appreciation day yesterday at the campus. So we did a bunch of stuff, and then my family is now with my son at his church. He was excited for us to finally visit, which is funny to say that, because I was a pastor at that church 13 years ago, but now it's his church. You know how that works. And anyway, so they, I send greetings from them. I also have a daughter who's a sophomore this year, and that's it. All right. Unless God wills it. Which, I'm not praying in that direction, but Lord, whatever you want. Wait a second. What just happened here? Weird turn. Our superintendent is the head pastor for our state. His name is Bob Wine, and I send you his greetings. I don't know if he's been here recently, if you guys seen him. Yeah. Wonderful man of God. He was a pastor for 30 years or so in Kearney, which is real close to us in Grand Island. He also pastored in Ainsworth, north central Nebraska. His dad was a pastor in Fremont, nearby here, where Bob grew up. He and Connie are doing a great job leading our state, and I work right across the hall from him, and so we are together often. And again, he sends greetings, and we're praying for you guys. Part of my role is overseeing all of our programs and activities for our young people. Like what you said, it's not the church of tomorrow, it's the church of today. And our office can attest to that, because 90% of our activity is somehow centered around the things that I'm doing there. And that's why he's talking about the hard work. And we are overseeing a lot of different things that we provide for you and for your young people. Of course, there's conventions that we do throughout the year. We do mission trips for our kids. We have a program called Bible Quiz where they can memorize the Word of God and compete against each other. Some of you might be familiar with that. We do fine arts for our teenagers where they can explore their ministry gifts and be rated on it. And they can even move on to a national platform and earn scholarships. I represent our Bible colleges. We have two in this region, the North Central region, North Central out of Minneapolis. I don't know if anybody's been to North Central before. Usually there's one or two in each church. And then we also have Trinity Bible College in Ellendale, North Dakota. And both are some great schools for this region. Of course, all of our colleges are welcome to all of our churches as we have a good product here out of Southwestern. I do have a SAGU shirt they sent me. I wanted to wear today, but I left it at home just to support my buddy here. But I'll be up at those colleges this week even, representing Nebraska, doing some business with them. And then I often bring their students down for our events so they can help promote the school to our kids, so they can know about some of the great Assembly of God secondary education out there for them. But the biggest thing that I oversee for today is our camp, our summer camp. I oversee the campgrounds, the business of that. So that's a year-run ministry, and I've got five staff that's a part of that, and they serve well out there. And then, of course, I run our camp program. This is our Kids Camp 2. That just happened the last week of June. And if you look closely in there, you might find your pastor. Do you see him? He's going to find it. He just jumps right up and says, "Here I am." You guys see him? He's got a hat on. He's got his nice red shirt on, red for Huskers. Anyway, there's Charles. He came and worked that week. In fact, this next one, I have a couple pictures I found of him working hard. Well, the one at the top there, he's at the altar with his boys. He was a dorm leader at our camp. I'll explain that in a moment. The one on the bottom, he was enjoying some leader downtime in our heart room. And you can see the guy behind him is taking a nap there. So that's the... Anyway, Charles was a dorm leader, Pastor Charles. And that is one of the best jobs at camp, and it also is the hardest working job, especially for boys at kids camp. He had, I don't know, 8, 10 boys in his room with him, somewhere in that range. 11 boys. And they kept him up all the time and had him running, and he was getting dirty left and right, and... "Come over here. Get over here. Where are you going?" You know, these are young boys at camp wanting to take advantage of everything. You were probably pretty tired at the end of the week, I would guess. You got home, slept pretty good. But I want to thank you for doing that. And I want you to be proud of your pastor because he came and volunteered. And we do have a fantastic camp program here in Nebraska. In fact, kids camps started in our district in Nebraska back in the 40s. And so we have that heritage. We still do them for kids, for teens. We even this year added a new youth camp in July because our teen camps are just overflowing and we don't have enough room for everybody anymore. So very excited for what God's doing out in Lexington. Okay, so it's a good distance from here. That's why we want you to stay the whole week so you don't have to turn around and drive home the next day. But every camp has a significant amount of volunteers that come, and a lot of times it is pastors, but it's also lay members and people from our churches. And if we have 300 students at the camp, we have 100 leaders. I mean, that's kind of the way it works. And so it's quite a task to try to recruit 100 volunteers for 5 different weeks of camps. And so thank you for doing that. And I want you to know you are welcome to come. If you have time that you could take off, or if you're retired, we have so many jobs that you could serve in. Of course, there's dorm leaders who live with our students and oversee them for the week. But we have kitchen workers that make the meals. We have pop stand workers who make the junk food and sell the T-shirts and run the games. We have rec staff that do the games out in the fields. We've got maintenance who help fix things that break, which happens a lot at kids' camps. We've got lifeguards. We've got go-kart directors. I don't know if you've ever done any of those things or wanted to do those things. I've got a job for you, I promise. You come up and tell me your skill set, and we'll fit it in. And so anyway, you take advantage of that opportunity. Talk to your pastor next year when camp rolls around. I'm sure they will be back, and you can join them. It would be great to have you with us. The other thing I'm preparing for is our youth convention. I brought a picture of that. We do two different youth conventions across the state. When we say youth, it's pertaining to our teenagers. And the theme is audacious. We want our students to dream big dreams for God and be bold in their faith. And I was actually at a Trinity Bible College, and I was listening to our speaker, and he said that, and it just resonated with me. So we've been planning that since. And we do two different conventions, one for Eastern Nebraska, which will be the first weekend of November, at our Assembly of God Church in Lincoln Christ Place. They just built a new sanctuary, and so we're going to be the first event in there outside of their own church. I'm very excited about that. It's the same location where our pastors are going to meet next April for our annual business meeting, district council, we call it. And so it's going to be exciting to be there before them and kind of where, you know, break it in to the district, if you will. Break is a loose term there. and then we have a Western convention the weekend before Thanksgiving out in Scotts Bluff. So if anybody wants to join me out there, you're welcome to, but Lincoln might be a little easier. But that's for all of our teenagers. And any teenagers here, or if you have family that you want to invite to come out to that, just see me afterwards. I'd love to hook you up with the information. Bottom line is, we believe in our kids. And our kids are the church now, and they're our church tomorrow too. And it's important for us to invest in the next generation. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in our message here. So if you want to open up your Bibles to join with me, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 1. I love the book of Ephesians. It's kind of fun how your pastor mentioned this morning about how we are encouraged to rejoice from a leader who was in prison at the time, because Ephesians was a letter written to the church of Ephesus from Paul while in prison. In fact, one of my favorite verses in the Bible is Ephesians 4, verse 1, where he says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received." In fact, I pray that verse just about every morning. And I pray, God, help me to live a life worthy of the calling I received. Because of the example of Paul saying that while a prisoner, he said, "I'm a prisoner for the Lord." And I love that. So Ephesians is a great book. In fact, the whole book is basically just one big memory verse. You can memorize this book and live by it, and I think you'd be doing a great job. So if you haven't really gotten into the Bible or started reading on a regular basis, I encourage you, jump into Ephesians. In fact, I challenge you every day this week to read a little bit of the Bible from this book, all right? In fact, just mark it when you have found it in your Bible. Maybe it's on your phone. You can just mark it. Oh, thanks. And then you can read a little bit every day. We're going to read right out of the first chapter, chapter 1. We're going to start with verse 15. I'm reading out the NIV, and the NIV Bible separates out different passages within the chapters. And so this is the start of a new one that's titled Thanksgiving and Prayer. The title of my message is My Prayer for You. You can write that down if you're taking notes. They've actually got it up on the screens for us, which is great. Good job back there. Our sound guys know what they're doing. Let's pray, or let's read this. It says this: "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, our glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." Man, what a passage. There's so much there. So we're just going to be here a while as I explain this. Now, a couple things I wanted to point out about this. First of all, just go back to the beginning there as we look back on our scripture. that we read. I love that Paul remembers his church in Ephesus. And when he does two things. He thanks God for him, and then he prays for him. I wonder, how often do you remember your church? You know, we leave here in a few minutes, and we'll head out for the week, and we go about our business, our daily plans. But how often do you remember your church? I would encourage you to try to remember it every day. Just like Paul did with his church, remember it often. And when you do, I encourage you to do two things. Thank God for this church. Thank God for your pastors. Thank God for the other people sitting next to you. Thank God for all those wonderful kids. I mean, what a blessing to see so much life in this church. We have 90 AG churches or so in Nebraska. And I can tell you, not all of them have a wealth of kids like you do. In fact, many of them would love to come here and steal some away. We can't let them, all right? We're safe too. But so thank God for what you have, and then pray for it. Pray for this church, and pray for it often. You know, when you do those things, God will develop a heart inside of you that's more committed to this church. That's one of the things I've been in the habit of doing, is praying for all of our churches. And I try to do it on a regular basis. I'll talk about that in my message. But when I do that, there's some churches that maybe I'm not as close to, or I don't know as well, or maybe the pastor and I even have some conflict. And as I begin to pray, that conflict wears away, that unknowing of who the church is doesn't matter anymore, and I begin to feel a part of that church. That's what prayer does. It makes us unified, brings us together. So I encourage you, remember this church often. Thank God for it and pray for it every day. Now, as Paul did that, I love it because he asks some amazing things. And when Paul asks, I mean, it's like the question that just keeps going on and on and on in these verses, which is incredible. But if I could simplify it for you, he's saying, God, give him wisdom and revelation to know you better. We serve such an amazing God that we need his help just to even know who he is. That's how big God is. When you don't understand something about God, that is not a moment to shy away from him. That's a moment to recognize he truly is God, because it's even beyond our understanding. It's beyond earthly constraints or the limits that we would think through to try to figure something out. I want a God that's bigger than my understanding. I want a God that I can't explain all the way, because he's so big, it's beyond me. And that's our God. So we pray that God would help us to know him better. And then it says that our eyes would be open to understand the riches of his inheritance we have in the saints. I love that, because it's talking about you. One of the blessings that God has given you to help understand him more and to live life on this earth is the inheritance of this church. Does that make sense? God has given you this church as a gift, as a guide to help you live life. We're meant to live life together. None of us were meant to do this thing alone. That's how God established the church. I love this too, because the church was established in the New Testament, and Paul was one of the main apostles establishing the church across the region. So he was going to cultures that didn't know church at all, like a missionary, and planting churches. And then he would leave a leader there as he left, and that leader now would develop the church. So he's talking to people that don't, we know church. Many of us, even if you didn't grow up going to church, you knew what church was. There's a church all over our cities, most of our cities. We know what church is so much that sometimes we don't value it. Sometimes we don't understand how important it is. Sometimes we don't realize what a gift it is from God to us. Because the church isn't a building. The church is an active organization. It's you and I working together as a body. In fact, at the end there, what does it say? It said that Jesus is the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of Christ. In other words, one of the ways that we get to know this God that's hard to understand is through the church. Even not just the explanation of a pastor up front, but watching and living together as a body, that's where you begin to understand who God is. So, wherever you're at in your commitment to this church today, my first encouragement is, and as I pray for you, that you would become 100% committed to this body, to this church, to each other, because that is a recipe for growing in Christ. being a stronger Christian and having a better life that's about the plans God has for you and the purposes God made you for. That won't happen if you do it apart from the church. So that's what Paul was saying, and I love this. So I am going to explain what I pray for you. And this is literally what I pray. In fact, I prayed it this morning. Now, I knew I was preaching here, so that helped. But like I said, I try to regularly pray for our churches and our leaders and our families across the district because that's my church. And so I'm remembering my church. I'm praying for it. And I want you to know what I pray for you. So let's do that. Let's pray real quick right now. Let me pray for you, and then we'll keep moving on. Lord, thank you, God, for this wonderful church. Thank you for these great believers that are here. I pray that you would help us, Lord, to continue to be committed to each other and to this church. And I ask, Lord, that you would help me to communicate your truth today in a powerful way. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. So prayer is a wonderful thing, isn't it? I want you to think back to the last time you prayed. You know, what was it? I've asked that question to students a lot, and you get a lot of funny answers. Well, I prayed that God would help me to pass the test, you know. I pray that God would help me to look good for that girl. I prayed that I could eat the whole lunch at school. You get weird things from the students. But when I think of prayer, I think back to my first year when I began being the DYD. That's what they call me, District Youth Director. And that was 13 years ago. So I am the longest serving DYD in Nebraska's history, believe it or not. Yeah. I wasn't trying to set the record. I'm just being obedient. And when I first was hired and transitioned to Grand Island, I was asked by a church in Sydney, which is on the western slope of Nebraska. Slope is a relative term. It's on the western edge of Nebraska. And they asked me to come out and be with them for a weekend. And what that church did is they went on a retreat together. They rented out some facilities just on the edge of town. And Friday and Saturday night, they stayed there and had a bunch of fun and activities. And then on Sunday morning, we had an outdoor service, had lunch, and everybody went home. And great idea. You know, maybe something we do around here someday. Maybe you do it. I don't know. But I went for the whole weekend. So I had my family with me, and we had lots of fun and lots of food. It was a great time. Sunday morning, I preached and just loved it. And it was only a couple months into my ministry as a DYD. So Saturday night, there was this wonderful softball tournament, and I loved it because I was on the winning team. Now, I didn't know this at the time, but wherever I go, if there's something like that, I always play with the youth, even though I'm not as youthful as I once was. because it's the DYD, or this is what happens to youth pastors, youth leaders, you know, you're always playing with the teens like you're one of them. And it's kind of, you got to suffer for the Lord, you know? Well, in this situation, I was on the adults, and they had some really strong guys and girls, and we just clobbered the teens. They had a couple teenagers who really thought they were going to win and kind of rubbing it in during the day, and we destroyed them. I mean, it wasn't close. So I was having some fun rubbing it in, you know, hey, how'd you guys do, you know, and making the teenagers feel funny, which is kind of a love language today. So they weren't happy about that. Well, I had brought my guitar along, and I play guitar, and they asked me to enjoy some songs by the campfire that night. So I went out, led us in a few fun songs and some worship songs, and we had a great time. But I looked around, and most of the rowdy teenagers were not there. They weren't at the fire, which disturbed me. I thought maybe it hurt a little too much, you know, the sting of defeat. So as I was going back to my cabin, I noticed the several of the ringleader students were at a picnic table on the way playing some games. So I went over to them. Said, hey, we missed you guys at the fire. They looked up at me with these scowls on their faces, you know, like they're all angry and unhappy. And I said, but you know what? I've got my guitar. I'm here. Why don't I just sing a song for you right now? Well, now they started kind of growling at me, you know. I mean, just looked like they were getting more irritated. Some of you think every time you talk to teenagers, that's what it's like right now. Let me just give you hope. They do change, I promise, just like you and I did. It's okay. So I just started singing for him, and I sang this one song I know called Dropkick Me Jesus. And I would never sing it in church for worship, probably. Great job this morning, by the way. But it goes, Dropkick Me Jesus through the goalpost of life. Kick me beyond that lonely goal. I'm right here, and I'm ready for you, Lord. Dropkick me Jesus and add 3 to your score. And it goes, at the cross, where at? You guys, many of you know that wonderful tune. And you can do, slam dunk me, Jesus, through the net on the court. You can make it apply to any sport here. So I did dropkick me, Jesus, and I finished, and I look at him, and I see the one on the end get up like he's about ready to punch me. I mean, they are really mad. These guys are not happy. And so I thought I was good at this. And I'm losing these teens fast. So I prayed. I prayed a silent prayer. And I just said, God, help me. Now, how many, you know, prayer is powerful, right? God hears our prayers. God always answers our prayers. Amen? Just not always the way we thought. In that moment, as I prayed, these students are moving towards me. I'm like, Lord, help me. God answered my prayer. A bird went to the bathroom on me. Now, it's 11 o'clock at night. It's pitch black. You can't see anything. So we didn't see that there were these birds hovering around while I started singing. Probably drawing their attention to me, you know. They didn't like the fire song. Now they come over. I think they just got done eating like a buffet at a Chinese restaurant or something based on what happened. Because, I mean, it just, boom. And it was on me. It splattered on my guitar. Projected, you know, kind of towards them. They're all back aghast. I went, ah! And I look up. And what do you think they're doing now? They are laughing. One of them falls off his chair. The one that got up came up and, like, hugged me on the clean side and said, that was the funniest thing I've ever seen. You're awesome. You know, next thing you know, I'm a hero. Thank you, God. So two things from that story. First of all, whenever I sing that song, I make sure I'm indoors, like today. But also, God answers our prayers. Just not always the way you think. So I am praying for you. And here's the five things that I'm praying for you. And I would love you to write these down, take notes, because I want to encourage you to pray these for each other, for your church as well. Join me in praying. The first thing I pray is I pray that your messages would be inspiring. Now, a message is a huge part of a church. Your pastor, one of their main tasks, like me leading camp for them, it's preaching. The development of that sermon and preaching the good news, preaching the truth. Preaching what we believe in the Assemblies of God, and that's what your pastor's doing a great job of. But it's not just the preaching. Messages is anything our church is communicating to our community. And that message is loudly owned by all of us, by you. The way you talk about your church and the way you represent your church by the way you live your life. Now, not everybody in this community may know that you're a part of this church, but we want them to. And when they know that, we want them to be glad in what they see. And sometimes the messages aren't that great that you hear in a community. Like, for instance, let's look at a few of these messages the churches are giving out. This is on their marquee. To err is human, to R is pirate. What a beautiful message. Let's look at the next one here in Cape Coral. Now is a good time to visit our pastors on vacation. Please don't put that out front here. At Living Hope. Lastly, welcome to whoever stole our air conditioners. You're going to need them. God. And he's so bold, he put his name right there. He wants you to know. He's mad. Somebody stole their AC. Those are just funny, obviously. But we are giving messages to our community here in Living Hope. First of all, the name itself, Living Hope, that's a message. And you are the best message we could ever give this community when you go out in this community and begin to live. And along with the pastor, all of us are. So I encourage you, what kind of message are we giving to Blair and the surrounding region? Because I pray that it would be inspiring. So when people hear the message and see things from this church, they would go like this. They would respond, huh, I wonder what that's all about. What is going on at that church on the highway with the big blue roof? What's going on out there? I've seen that. I've driven by that every time I go to Omaha. And I hear good things about it. That's what I'm praying, that people's ears will get tickled up when they start hearing things that are happening and seeing what's going on in your lives. My prayer is also that the messages coming from this pulpit and from these classrooms would do two things. That first of all, that we'd remember it. I mean, think back to last week. Think back to a message you remember. That's what I'm praying every week. And it is the responsibility of a pastor to preach that and to be inspired by God so it is memorable, but it's your responsibility to apply it to your life. And it's hard to do when we don't know what was spoken. So that's why you write things down. Taking notes isn't necessarily this amazing spiritual activity, but it's an incredible practical activity to help you apply the message from God. If it is truly from God, and God will hold us accountable for what he's given us, we need to make sure we're remembering it. And then also, I'm praying that it would be challenging. I've been to a lot of churches where the pastor began to preach a challenging message and people got angry and left. And the pastor says, maybe I don't want to do that anymore. And I say, if you're not being challenged in church, that's a reason to question what's going on. Because a pastor's job is not to make you feel comfortable. It's to spur you on towards growth, to equip you to be the best believer you can be. And you can't do that without a challenge. So I give you permission. Challenge them left and right, Pastor. When it happens, you come back to me. I'm the one responsible for that. Number two, I pray that your worship would be inviting. Now, I love that word inviting because everybody is welcome to come and be a part of the presence of God in this place. And the presence of God in you and your lives and your homes all out in the community throughout the week. Because the church is alive in this community. It's not just here. It's everywhere. You take it with you everywhere you go. And my prayer is that your worship would be inviting. I can't tell you how many times I visited churches and its worship is a dividing factor in the church. In fact, we have churches that have split apart and it started in worship where they didn't sing the songs we used to sing, or it was too loud, or they added electric drums, or they that leader's voice. Or I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And I love, again, what your pastor preached this morning. He said, you know, worship is not just about everything I want. It's giving glory to an amazing God. And so many times worship has become this very personalized, selfish thing, and it's not. It's our chance to say thank you to our Heavenly Father and to show him how much he means to us. So that's why worship is more than a song. You worship God with the way you live your lives, the way you treat each other. Worship is in the offering we took earlier. I mean, that's a great chance to worship God. Some of us worship God amazing in the songs, and we haven't given. And that's a chance to worship God. We worship God in the way, you know, I saw several adults that stood up and walked out here with these kids. That's a worship because you're serving. You're serving the young people that God's given us in the church. And we need more of that. And that's worship. I pray that the worship would be inviting, that people would be drawn into the presence of God, and that it would be a uniting thing in this church, that there'd be unity in our worship, because the focus is not ourselves, it's on him. My third thing that I'm praying is that your outreach would be inclusive. So you see, there's a little pattern there. Your messages are inspiring, your worship is inviting, and then your outreach is inclusive. And there's a little process here. Imagine someone in the community that hears something about the church and inspires them. Then they interact with you and they feel invited in. They want to now be a part of this. And then the outreach is inclusive, meaning I belong. When someone visits this place, walks in the doors, and is part of this, just a regular Sunday service, my prayer is that they would belong. That they would not feel like this is an exclusive club. Only certain people can be a part of Living Hope. No, they'd understand everyone is welcome in this place. With you, with our people, there's a seat in the room for you, for your family, for whoever you are. I believe a church is a small example of the community, a microcosm, if you will, of the larger community. So if it's in Blair, if the people are in Blair, then they should be represented in here. So who do we have in Blair that hasn't found a place in here? What people group? What type of person is out there in your community and you haven't seen them in the church yet? Let's begin to be inclusive and reach out. Let's begin to let them know, hey, we'd love to have you with us. Whether they look like us or not, whether they act like us or not, that they're welcome. Too many of our churches, the community feels like that's only a place for certain type of people. And I pray that's not the case here. That everyone in this community and this region would know you're welcome at that place. Now, we live in a society that has a lot of things that are changing, and the church is becoming more and more isolated in that regard because we stand for truth. I believe we can still be inclusive and declare the truth to a world in need. I believe we can tell people, you are welcome in this place, and we will tell you the truth. So there's a balance. I don't want that to act like I'm just saying permission to water down the truth so people feel comfortable in the seats. No, that's why it starts at the top there with your messages being challenging. But I pray your outreach will be inclusive. Sometimes when we think of outreach, we see this picture. There's the guy walking down the road up top, and he says, excuse me, do you have a moment to talk about Jesus? And then he's running away for his life. And some of us feel like that's what's going to happen if we would say something to somebody. Hey, would you like to visit my church with me this Sunday? You know, we're sweating like crazy. We're not sure what's going on. How are they going to respond? Are they going to stone us right now like the Old Testament? And I want you to know, this is not what's happening in the world today. My encouragement to you is start with the person next door, the person in the cubicle next to you. Start with your loved ones, but start somewhere. Too many of our churches, I've asked this question a lot. When was the last time you invited someone to be with you here? And I'm not trying to put guilt on you, but I want to challenge you, because one of our main purposes in this world is to spread the good news. And the pastor's job is not to own that himself, but to equip the saints to do it together. So we all need to be extending that invitation and be inclusive. And I believe as we do that, the church will grow. Then number four, the fourth thing I'm praying is that your finances would be increasing. Now, that's a tough term, because a lot of people sometimes feel like the church is not a welcoming place because of the topic of finances, because of the offering. They think, why is there an offering? Well, first of all, that is the way God has established things for the church. The church supports itself. And just like any business, we need capital to run. I like, again, it's so funny. He mentioned things this morning. Thank God the lights are on, he said. You guys remember that? I mean, we take that for granted, but we're spending money right now with the sound and the lights and the resources the kids are doing, the coffee we eat. That's money. And that's money. How do we get that? All right, it's not coming from some outside source. It's us. And so I'm praying that the finances be increasing so our ministry is increasing. I will tell you again, just practical, when I'm talking to our churches, there's so many that finances are a major issue for them. And I just want to encourage you to be a generous church. If we're committed on all these areas, another message that we communicate to our community is when we're very supportive of our church, which includes not only what you say and do, but even with our giving, with supporting what God has an opportunity to do in this place. I pray this all the time, that first of all, our needs will be met, both with the people in the church and for the church as a whole. Then I pray that the pastor and his family would be taken well care of. Then I pray that the facility needs to be met. Then I pray that as they grow, they'd be able to add on more team members and be able to pay them so that they can give all of their effort to that. And then I pray that they're giving not only to the local community, but to the world at large in missions, in making an impact all over the world. I love that we saw that video this morning about the Christmas boxes. And I love that they take it here in Blair, Nebraska. We can be a part of something that's touching kids all over the world. And the Assemblies of God has missions, and I represent those for youth and for kids. And we call them Speed the Light and BGMC, and those are ways for kids to touch people all over the world too. And so, yes, finances is an important part of reaching the world, and I pray that all the time, and I pray that for you. Let me say this. I will tell you that each church right now that has some financial progress sees it in two areas. One, a large percentage of their church is giving to support the ministry. I don't know what the percentage is here, but that's one key component for growing churches, is a large percentage are pouring back into the church because they trust the leadership and because they're being obedient to God. And then the second thing that I see in churches that are progressing is usually there's one or two key individuals in the church that God has blessed above and beyond what most of us might know. And they become a major benefactor in the move of God in that church. And so let me plant the seed. This is sometimes it's awkward if a pastor's talking about it and you know, they want to protect that. They don't want you to think they're about money. As somebody overseeing our pastors and our churches, let me plant the seed. Where do you fit in there? Maybe you're somebody and your purpose here to serve is to give above and beyond out of the generous giving that God has given you and blessed you with to be that major benefactor. I know guys in some of our churches where they've done a building project and one person was responsible for over 50% of the funds that came in for it. Now, does the church stand up and say that? Of course not. We're all in this together. But that one person was a significant need for that kind of benefactor. Maybe that's you. Let me plant that seed in you this morning. Maybe God's calling you to be one of those roles. Very important. And then finally, number five, I pray that God would help you to raise up leaders as an inheritance. Yes, I work with young people, so I cannot have a message where I'm not talking about ministry to our youth, to our kids. But it's not just because I work with young people. That is an important part of any church, because it is the life of your church. It's the heartbeat of your church. It's the church of today and tomorrow. I'll tell you about another church very near Sydney, not too far away. A couple decades ago, they were known as one of the most incredible churches in Nebraska. They were growing at an amazing pace, a city of 3,000. They had 200 people in their church. That's kids, youth, everybody, 200. Place was overflowing. They had a strong pastor, and they had a lot of unity, and they were moving forward. But as the years went on, pastors transitioned, different needs arose, things happened, and I went and visited this church not long ago, and where we saw all these young kids, they had none. And I'm sorry to report that just recently, in some meetings with our executives here in Nebraska, that church has been closed. The unfortunate thing is we saw this coming for a long time, and the biggest sign was the lack of kids, the lack of young people, the lack of that life and the heartbeat of the church. So thank God we're seeing that right now. But we've got to invest in that, or it won't stay. And how do we invest in that? Well, of course, I mentioned all these things, but the greatest investment is you. The churches where I've seen them struggle more than anywhere else with ministry to young people is when it's all the pastor and his family that do it. It has to be a team approach for it to be as effective and growing as it can be. One of the greatest outreaches you can have in this community is have an effective kids ministry. I mean, that's a fact in our Assemblies of God movement. Church Multiplication Network will tell you that one of the main things you do to grow a church is have a strong kids ministry. As the kids come and the kids are ministered and the kids begin talking to mom and dad can follow. But a lot of that will not happen if it's all just on the pastor's plate because they're doing so much. It's got to be a team approach. And I know we are. I saw some workers there, and I'm proud of those that are. But I want to encourage you to commit to a strong ministry for young people in this church and ask God, how can I be a part? So many different ways you can serve in that. It goes beyond just standing up front. My wife does not ever stand up in front. I wish she was here because I'd be picking on her. And she would not like it because I've even mentioned it. She just, anywhere on stage, and she clams up, it's very hard for her. I think she's great at it, but she just does not like it. But she could still serve and has served in all of our kids' ministries at all the churches we've been in, been a major piece, and never been on stage. There's so many ways for you to serve without doing what you think, I think I can't preach. Trust me, you can do so much to help. Just volunteer. Now, it goes beyond that even, though. Because in raising up leaders as an inheritance, I will tell you that so many of our churches struggle when a strong serving member transitions out and there was no one there raised up to take their place. And I'm talking about key positions, worship leaders. You're talking about the main benefactor of the church, like I mentioned, the strong giving family, Sunday school teachers, board members. These are key positions in any leadership of any church. And one of the things I want to plant and I'm praying is that a major responsibility in those positions right now would be to start investing in someone else that will eventually take your place. To raise up someone, to bring an assistant, to develop your own assistant. Let me give you one story. There was a worship member in my church that I serve in Grand Island. I'm not the pastor of that church. I have a pastor there, and I come under his leadership to be a good example to my family and to our denomination. And in that church, I serve on the worship team. I help in the youth ministry. You know, they call me to do things all the time. In that church, we had a wonderful guy on our worship team that played the electric guitar. And one of the best I've seen. I mean, amazing talent. And he was there for a couple years working alongside me on the worship team and just added so much to that worship presence in the church. But recently, he just transitioned out. And he left, and since he left, no one's played the electric guitar. Now, that's a distinct skill, all right? There might be many that would volunteer, and if you got up there the next week, may not be what we thought it was going to be, right? Just like drums, I understand that. That's a talent. But we started talking to the worship leader, and they said, you know, we've known for 6 months that he's going to be transitioning out. And the worship leader said this, I wish that rather than cut it off at the end of 6 months and now it's not there anymore, that we would have asked him to invest his time more off the stage and into investing in somebody else to take his place. Even in those 6 months, or maybe for a couple years, if he would have had this thought that I'm looking for someone that I can teach, that I can work with, that can grow in this ability, so when it's my time to go, they're ready, that would have helped us. So now that's a part that we're trying to work on in our church, and I encourage that to you. Who are you pouring into to take your place? Now, that's a fun question because the question is, what place do you have? You know, there's a lot of us who are serving in different roles. There's others of us that maybe we haven't invested in that role yet. And another thing that's way beyond just the church, but in any organization, if you want buy-in and you want people to really care for it, then they need to have a place that they're invested in it. That means you're serving. So I commend your pastor for asking you to jump in and get involved, and I encourage him to keep doing it all the more. Because the goal would be that every person who comes to this church on a regular basis and is now part of the body would have a role in the body. Somewhere, somehow, serving. And again, that's not so we can just sit in our office and go, yes, this is wonderful. No, it's so that we can grow. And we want you to be here for years. And one of the things that's going to facilitate that is when you're investing yourself in the process. So these are the things I'm praying for you. I'm almost finished here. I'm praying that your messages would be inspiring, that your worship would be inviting, that your outreach would be inclusive, that your finances would be increasing, and that God would help you raise up leaders as an inheritance. Let me ask you this now, five things. Which one sticks out to you? Let's make this personal. Which one is God speaking to you today that's an area that I need to focus on this week? Is it the messages? You know, what message are you communicating to this community, to the people around you about your church? Are you communicating a message? What can you communicate? Is it the worship? Is there something there? Maybe I meddled with an uncomfortable subject for you because worship is a tough environment for you right now. Well, that's one of the beauties of my position. I get to come and leave. I won't be here again. But I am a leader for this church, and I want to challenge you. Don't let it be divisive. Our enemy, the devil, was the worship leader of heaven. I mean, should it surprise us that that becomes one of the most argumentative things in our churches? No. Don't let him have his way. Is it the outreach, being inclusive? Maybe God has positioned you in this community to reach a segment of this society that nobody else can reach in this church. Whether it's the school or a different business or a specific type of person in the community or a neighborhood. There's no accident in God. There's purpose in that. And maybe that's for you. Finances. Maybe God's calling you to be more generous in your giving here at Living Hope. And then the last one, raising up leaders. Where's your position here in the church? Same thing I just said before. God positions people. God's positioned you here with your gifting and your makeup of who you are to give in this church somewhere, to serve in this church somewhere. Where could that be? Where could that be? Let me pray for you, and then I'll turn it back over to Pastor. I'll let him close us out. You know, with our eyes closed, I just would love to have a response from you, for me, and before God. If there was an area that really stuck out to you, and you know God is asking you to work on it in your life, would you raise your hand just so I can see it? Okay. Just put it up, put it right back down. Anybody else? Father God, you see the hands that were raised this morning. And Lord, I know that this is so important to you. The verses we read in Ephesians, God, your primary mode of reaching the world that Jesus ushered in is through your church, this church. So I know, God, that this matters to you greatly. And Father, I pray for everyone to raise their hand, whatever area it was, Lord, I pray that you would remind them and that you would work with them this week to take steps forward in that area and to be stronger for you. And as they do, I pray that this church would keep growing, God. Lord, I know that there's obstacles in the way. And I know that it's the testing of our faith that produces perseverance and maturity. So, God, those obstacles are not always things that you'll remove, but you'll help us move through so we can be better. I pray, God, that you bring this church together to face those things together as a team. Lord, they've come through so much already that now is not a time to give up or back down, but to continue pressing forward so we can accomplish all of the purposes you have for us here. God, I pray for your pastors that you put over this church, their family. I ask, God, that you would give them boldness to pursue everything you're putting in their heart, God. Give them clarity, Father, to how to approach it the right way in the right time. Lord, help them. I pray for an anointing on them, that they would be powerful for you, God, beyond themselves, but it's supernatural power, God, for life change in this place. God, I pray protection for them, Lord, from the enemy that's attacking and trying to destroy your work in this place, God. Lord, I thank you for this church. More than anything, I just thank you for the life I feel in this place. God, what a testament. That even though things happen and challenges come, that you are faithful. And I just thank you for that, God. I could stand in this pulpit today. You're faithful, God. And I know you'll continue to be faithful to us as we press into you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Living Hope Assembly of God.